Lord, and we declare that without you, Lord, we're bankrupt. We're spiritually bankrupt. And Lord, we just need you in our lives. So Lord, we commit this morning to you. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Good morning, church. It is good to see everyone. We've had a couple of rough weeks, right? A couple people being sick, more than a couple, you know, and but God is good. God is gracious. Listen, and I think today God has a word for us. I don't think I know. He has a word for us. Every time we open up his word, he speaks to us. So, hey, listen, with that, will you open up to Acts chapter 18? Acts chapter 18. If anyone needs a Bible, please raise your hand and someone will get one to you. With technology now, right, it's at our fingertips as well. Hey, listen, will you stand with me to honor God's word? You know, and his word is worthy to be honored. His word is so good. It is infallible. It is precious. And we certainly want to do that. Chapter 18, verse 1 says, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth. And he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome, and he came to them. So because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for by occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded both Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, Paul was compelled by the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. But when they opposed him and blasphemed, he shook his garment and said to them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles. And he departed from there and entered the house of a certain man named Justus, one who worshipped God, whose house was next door to the synagogue. Then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his household, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Now the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision. Do not be afraid, but speak. And do not keep silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack you to hurt you, for I have many people in this city. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. You may be seated. Church, do you know that God is with you? Do you know that God is with us? Emmanuel, God with us. And listen, in the most difficult times in our lives, when we go through those dark times in our lives, God hasn't left us. He is right there with us. And he always shows up. There's a saying that says that God is seldom early, but never late. He's always on time. Now, if you've been studying with us through the book of Acts, if you've been following along, you know that Paul had a rough life. Paul had been called by God to preach the gospel to Jews, to Gentiles. Primarily, he was the apostle to the Gentiles, but to go out into the world and preach the gospel. And Paul had suffered many things. On his first missionary journey, he was stoned, left for dead, he was beaten. And he came back for more. Then on the second missionary journey, he goes up to certain regions. God says, you can't go through there. You can't go this direction, and sends him over to Macedonia. He arrives in Macedonia, and he goes to Philippi. And in Philippi, he is beaten with rods. And he's thrown in prison. He's thrown in a dark dungeon. Battery good? And there, Paul and Silas, man, they were encouraged. In this situation, instead of moping and saying, God, why am I here? They were praising the Lord. They were singing songs to Jesus in the night. And then afterwards, they leave Philippi and they go to Thessalonica. And when they go to Thessalonica, a riot breaks out. And once again, they're forced to leave. So they go to Berea. And in Berea, God was moving again. Paul was preaching the word of God to the people. And God was moving again. But every time that God's moving, the enemy is moving also. And the Jews from Thessalonica tracked Paul down and went down there. They wanted to kill him. And Paul was forced to flee once again by night. So he goes down to Athens. And in Athens, as he arrives there, he's there by himself. Silas and Timothy are back in Berea. And really, they're in that region. As we read the epistles of the 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and so forth, we sort of get a glimpse of where they were at. But they stayed up in that region to make sure that the church was established, to feed the church, God's people, the new church of God that was there. And Paul was all alone in Athens. And he was waiting for them. But while he was waiting for them, he looked out into the city and he saw, man, what a need. People are given over to idols. They're given over to really this demonic worship of these deities that are not deities. And it was just lost. Now, Athens was a place known for its culture, known for its education, the incredible philosophers that it produced and so forth. And Paul, moved, compelled by the Spirit, goes out and goes into the synagogue and he starts preaching the word of God. He starts to share the word of God. He starts to have conversation with people. And they don't listen, and he goes over to the marketplace. And Paul says, I will speak to whoever listens to me. In the marketplace, he shares, and he's sharing the word of God. He's saying, Jesus saves. You don't have to worship these false idols. You can come to the one and true living God who truly saves, who gives life, eternal life, who can forgive your sins and wants to forgive your sins. And the philosophers hear about this. What, one God? One God? They worship many gods, so they invite him over to Mars Hill to preach, to teach, to share this new theology with them. And Paul takes him up on this offer, and he goes there gladly. And there he goes in this platform, this place, this rock where the philosophers of the day would meet and discuss issues. Prominent people. There, Paul preaches the gospel. He says, let me tell you about this unknown God to whom you have raised an altar to. That is who I'm here for and about, let me tell you. And he says, look, all these foolishness, all these ignorance, all these things, God has allowed it all this time. But now, this from now on, he has called all people to repent and to turn to him. And he gives this incredible teaching. Paul was a genius. He was a, man, he was an educated man. He knew the word of God. He knew the philosophies. He knew, he was a Roman, raised in a Greek city, and taught by the best teachers of the Pharisees. You know, he was a man that was well educated. And he shared the gospel there. He found common ground, and it says that he got three reactions. One of them, when they heard the resurrection of the dead, that Jesus died for their sins, but he rose again, and he ascended to the right hand of the Father. They mocked him. The resurrection? Truly? And then other ones, they said, man, you know what? That struck a nerve. That struck a chord in my heart. I believe, but you know what? I'm just not ready. We'll hear you again later. That sounds good, but I'm just not ready right now, right? That's the heart of people. Sometimes they hear the gospel, they hear the word of God, they hear the message of salvation, the love of God, and they say, I know that's true, but I'm just not ready. I don't want to right now because of that hardened heart. Sadly, they don't know what tomorrow holds. And then there were those that believed. It says there were some that believed. Interestingly enough, though, we don't read about the church of Athens, right? There's no church in Athens. However, Paul preaches the word, and now he leaves to Corinth. It doesn't tell us why he left to Corinth, but we can be sure that God led him to Corinth. We can be sure of that. But Luke doesn't take his time to give us an explanation or anything. We don't know what happened. We don't know how God spoke to him. And although Corinth was only 50 miles away, it was such a different town than Athens. It was totally different. Take a look at verse 1 for me. After these things, after what things? The things we discuss after preaching the gospel, Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth. Corinth. Wow, much can be said about Corinth. You guys are familiar with Corinth. Athens was only 50 miles away from Corinth, but the reputations were so different. The Corinthians, unlike the Athenians, not that Athens was not given over to idols, we know that. They were a society that worshiped their deities, that's the culture of the day and so forth. But mainly they were known for their education and for their schools and so forth. Whereas Corinth was known for the party life, the loose living, the sexual immorality, their lifestyle of debauchery. That's what Corinth was known for. And Corinth was the Las Vegas of the day, if you will. And just like Vegas has a slogan, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. And just like Portland has a slogan, keep Portland weird, you know, Athens had a slogan, all things are lawful. All things are lawful in Corinth. Anything goes, everything goes. That was the place. And like most of the ancient world, they worshiped many deities, not the least of which was Aphrodite, the goddess of love and sexuality, and they had erected a temple above this hill that overlooked the city, and the temple housed over 1,000 priestesses. But they were not really priestesses. They would be known as what we know now, prostitutes. And they would come down into the town, or the men would go up and fulfill every desire. And it was accepted, it was expected, that was the lifestyle. And in like manner, there was a temple to Apollos where the opposite was true. There were male prostitutes. And it was a town that was just given over to anything and everything. But it was a town that was full of commerce as well. Listen, Corinth, if you look at the map, it comes down and it has like a land bridge, and then there's the mainland. But this land bridge is only about 2 miles wide. And it made it perfect for ports. See, if Romans or whomever would sail all the way around, the waters were rough. It was difficult. Many times they couldn't sail through winter. So what they would do is they would, from the north or the south, they would come up to that land bridge, and there they would carry the boats, not they would place the boats into this wheel cradles that were running across a cobblestone road. And they would push it across, and they would do the same thing also with cargo. It would save them so much time. It would save them, you know, just everything. So they had built this road. This road was called the Olcos Roadway, and they linked the Adriatic Sea and the Aegean Sea. So it was really an incredible place of commerce and a lot of prosperity in that aspect of it. But because Corinth had a far-reaching reputation. People knew about Corinth all around the world. They knew their immorality. They knew their reputation. And people that lived a debased life, a drunkard, or a sexually immoral person, a person that was just given in to everything, they would say, this guy's a Corinthian. It wasn't a term of endearment. That's how they were referred to. And you know what? Jesus wanted to reach Corinthians too. He wanted to reach Corinth. God wanted to reach this town that was given over to this debased life. God wanted to reach him, and he would use a man. He would use Paul to go there and preach the gospel in this dark place. But listen, during this time of Paul's life, it was a difficult time for him. He was lonely. He was discouraged. And it was just a time in his life where he had just gone through so many things, and he felt like, this is hard. And how do we know that? Well, you can turn to 1 Corinthians 2. Actually, turn there with me. 1 Corinthians 2. Verses 1 through 5. This is Paul writing to the Corinthians. He says, And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. So he didn't come to them the same way as he did with the Athenians. Verse 2, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Listen, he says, I'm keeping it simple. I'm bringing the message of the cross to you. And look at verse 3. This gives us insight on how Paul was when he arrived there. He says, for I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling. Paul was in a place of his life where it was difficult. We think of Paul as this giant of the faith, just giant man that nothing could deter him. But he was simply a man. He was just simply a man. And look at verse 4, and it says, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of the power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. God's word has power. There is power in the word of God. There is power in Jesus. And he says, I'm not coming to you with this excellent of speech. I'm going to give you the message of the cross because that is what you need. But that's the state that Paul was in when he arrived in Corinth. You can turn back with me and we'll take a look at the next few verses here. And remember that Paul is alone. And he was tired, and Silas and Timothy had not arrived yet. And God had called him to preach the gospel there in this town, in this place that was a dark place. And he was alone, and he needed help. And he was tired. And he needed help. So God knew that he needed help. Take a look at verse 2. And he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, which is Asia Minor, is north of Cilicia, where Paul was born, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome. And he came to them. So because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for by occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded both Jews and Greeks. Paul moves to a new place. He's there temporarily, but he's now moved to a new place, and he's by himself. He's lonely. He's got a calling in his life. He needs to reach this people, and God knows that. God uses some unusual circumstances to bring help to Paul. He brings this man, Aquila and Priscilla, this couple that would become his friends, a couple that believed in God. And listen, when we move to a new place, I don't know about you, but I moved a lot. When I was younger, I moved, seems every 2-3 years, just constantly moving a certain region, then I moved completely out of state, then again, and so forth. Moving can be hard. Moving can be very difficult. When we go to another place, we get lonely. We don't have any friends. And we're like, man, it's a new work. But God is faithful to bring those people in your life, good friends, godly friends. When I moved to Texas, I moved and I was in a horrible state spiritually. I had made a mess out of my life. Things were horrible. My marriage was falling apart. My health was terrible. Had back surgery. Everything was bad. And I had been praying, Lord, give me a new start. Give me a new start. And I prayed specifically. I said, Lord, please bring godly friends to me. And Lord, please do not allow friendships that are not good for me to stick. And when I moved to Texas, I had tons of family. And listen, my family, maybe you can relate, maybe not, but a bunch of drinkers, a bunch of partiers, tons of family. There was no lack of somebody offering me, here, take this, take that, and so forth. And even though we were family, there was like this wedge. I just didn't hit it off with nobody. My cousins, my this, it just nothing. There was like this wedge. And we bought this home, sight unseen, where New Calvary Chapel was just starting just about 5 miles away from there. Very close that we would drive past. We didn't even know it was there. And then we were driving by one day and we saw this little sign that said Calvary Chapel. Actually, at that time it was Northwest Houston. Long name, right? And a little kids are kids in the gymnasium. And I stopped and I looked and I said, okay. I didn't know that there was Calvary Chapels at that time over there. You know, it was like, I went to that place and I was greeted with open arms, which I was not used to. That was a little too much for me. I was like, okay, guys, yeah, I don't know you. A little space. And we got to that place and they loved on us. And God brought godly friendships into our lives, just like we had prayed. It is such an encouragement when God brings these people into your life. God was faithful to do that for Paul. He was in a tough place in his life, and he brought godly friendships into his life, friends that would comfort him, friends that would labor with him. God was so good. He is so good to know exactly what you need at that time. And Paul got more than what he bargained for. He got friends, but he also got co-laborers in Christ. He strikes up this friendship with them, and they're co-laboring with them. And later on, as we read a little bit further, we'll get to it next week, they decide they're leaving with Paul. They're not staying in Corinth. So they decide, hey, we're going to join this mission trip. We don't know what's going on, but we're going. They end up in Ephesus. In Ephesus, they settle down for a while. They get a house, and the church is meeting in their home. They have a home church there in Ephesus. And later on, they move back to Rome. And Paul, when he writes his epistle to the Romans, in Romans 16, chapter 16, verse 3, he says, Greet Priscilla and Aquila. And listen, listen to what he says. My fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risk their own neck for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. He said, these guys were so good to me. They risked their lives for me. They were there for me. Man, greet them. Let them know I love them. Let them know that I'm thinking of them. And listen, this morning, maybe you feel alone. Maybe you think, you know what, I don't have anybody to share with. I'm going through these things in my life, and I don't have anybody. You know, I'm in a place full of people, but I'm alone. That's what the enemy does to an individual. You can be somewhere, you can be at church, and the enemy would have you think that you're alone, that you have nobody. But you're not alone. You guys know that? You guys are not alone. The Christian life is not meant to be lived alone. When that happens, the enemy takes advantage of it. He comes around. He comes around like a roaring lion, right? Seeking whom to devour. Those that are on the outskirts, those that are alone. We're meant to live life together, to live out our faith. And God has provided those people in your lives. And listen, sometimes we just need to reach out. It says that Paul sought them out. Paul went over to them. There's people that God has placed in our lives, but we will never know if we don't reach out, because the enemy whispers in your mind, in our mind, says, man, they don't care. Nobody cares. Nobody cares about your situation. This is, you need to suck it up, and you know what? God doesn't care. He's not with you. God is with us. Emmanuel, God with us. He is always with us, and he knows exactly what we need, and he provides what we need. Jesus said in Mark 10:29, as surely I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's. Listen to the promise. Who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions? We'll say that quietly, right? With persecutions. And in the age to come, eternal life. That's God's promise to you. That's God's promise to you. He says, when you come to know the Lord, yes, you will lose friends, family members, and so forth. When you seek out God, when you seek to serve him, but he says, you know what? I got so much more for you. Now, at this time, at this present age, when I go, if I travel, if you go somewhere else, and you go to a Calvary Chapel, you go to a church, you go to a Baptist, wherever it is that you go, when you travel, and all of a sudden you go to church, because you're there, you don't know nobody in that city, man, something happens. Listen, the love of God is in that place. The Word of God is being taught, and you go there, and you have family there. You have people that love you. They may not know you, but they love you because you're linked eternally through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's amazing what God does. Listen, God's got you. He's got your back. So Paul, now he's encouraged by his new friends, and he's working during the week in order to provide for himself. He's moved to this place. Silas and Timothy are not there yet. And now he has to work in order to provide for himself. So every Sabbath, though, he goes to the temple or he goes to the synagogues, and it says that he reasoned with them. He's encouraged now. It didn't tell us that before, but now it tells us that. Friends, so he's encouraged, and he's going. But God's not done. He knows that he needs more help in this place. It's a dark place. But God is into reaching dark places. God is into reaching the lost, the sinners, man, the down and out. That's who God, man, he's into reaching those places. So he says, I have more help for you, Paul. Take a look at the next verse. When Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, oh, wait, hey, buddies, the cavalry is here. Man, think about that. Silas and Timothy, he's been away from them. He doesn't know. And 1 Thessalonians 3 tells us that Paul was so concerned with the church in Thessalonians in those regions, because in Thessalonica, he only spent 3 weeks before he was ran out. And he didn't know. He's like, man, this is a new church. There's attacks. The enemy is going to devour it and so forth. So he was so concerned with them. And when Paul, and when Timothy and Silas come to him, they say, the church is doing good, Paul. Listen, that heaviness that you have, the church is doing good. God is faithful. The church is prospering. Not only that, they brought financial assistance. 2 Corinthians 11:9 tells us. So, things are looking up for Paul. He's like, wow. You can almost see, like, this discouragement, this loneliness and all that. It's almost like progressively going away as God just flames the fire in his heart, that ember in his heart, by providing help and so forth. Silas and Timothy get there. And then what happens? Paul was compelled by the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. Oh. With Silas and Timothy's arrival, Paul now dedicates himself exclusively to preaching the word. And the Spirit of God moves in him, and he is compelled to preach the gospel to the Jews. Before it says that he reasoned with them. Now he's going there, man. It's like a change in his dynamics and his person. He's going in there, and he's preaching the gospel. And he knows there may be repercussions. But listen, when you have support of the friends, God has given you people, and they encourage you. So he preaches the gospel to the Jews, and he says, Jesus is the Christ. Listen, the whole Bible, he tells them, it's all about Jesus. You need to know him. It's all about him. He saves. He is the Messiah promised from the very beginning. But, verse 6, look at what it says. But when they opposed him and blasphemed, he shook his garment and said to them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles. Paul preaches the gospel in the power of the Spirit boldly, and his countrymen once again reject the gospel. They once again reject the love of God. They reject Jesus Christ. And they blaspheme, and they would not receive. There is times in our lives when we just have to walk away. There's times in our lives where we have done what God has called us to do. When we have shared with people over and over, whether it be loved ones, whether it be a certain location, when we have shared the love of Jesus and how he died for them and how he desires to forgive their sins, and when we have pleaded with them and we have called them to repent and to turn to God, to Jesus, when we have faithfully delivered God's message of love, of righteousness, the message of the cross, and when people have rejected it over and over and over again, listen, you're free from the burden. You're free from that burden. We have done what God has called us to, and now the blood is on their own heads. Each individual has a responsibility. There is no one that has a relationship via parents, via wife or husband, via kids. The relationship is individual, is personal. It is just you and God. And each person will be held accountable for their decision of what they do with the Word of God, what they've heard, when they've heard the message of the cross, that God loves them and that he died for them, every person will be held accountable. And Paul said, the time has come. And he leaves. Paul leaves. He leaves the synagogue. It's like he's gone, but he doesn't go very far. It's like he goes out this door and goes over to the next door back here. Take a look at verse 7. And he departed from there and entered the house of a certain man named Justus. Look at the description of this man, one who worshiped God, whose house was next door to the synagogue. He leaves, I'm leaving this place, I'm going to the Gentiles, and he goes around and goes right back there. Adjacent wall, there is a house of Justus. So, then Crispus, I find this comical, then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his household, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Paul goes next door. He starts a Bible study next door with this man. And all of a sudden, the leader of the synagogue goes over the Bible study, and he's saved, and his whole household is saved. And all of a sudden, Corinthians come. More people come, and people are being saved. And all it took was for Paul to leave the store and go to the next one. All it took is him leaving and going next door. And all of a sudden, people are being saved. Listen, sometimes our Lord Jesus just wants us to cast our net on the other side of the boat. We're fishing here, and he says, no, right here. It makes all the difference. When the Lord leads us, it makes all the difference. So God is moving. People are being saved. People are being baptized. People are coming to know the Lord. They're leaving this craziness of this society. They're repenting. They're coming into the knowledge of God, and they're born again. Man, how awesome, how exciting. These times are exciting, they're glorious. Everything is going good, it's going right. But, however, Paul has seen this before. Sometimes, and I know, maybe I'm alone in this, but, you know, sometimes when things are going really, really good, all of a sudden we pause and we're like, wait, something's going to happen. Everything's going good, I know something's going to happen. Well, Paul knew something was going to happen because the pattern was he goes to a town, he preaches the gospel, people are saved, they come into the Lord, a church is established, everything's going great, and what happens? Paul gets a beating. Paul gets thrown in prison. Or he gets both, gets a beating and thrown in prison. He gets stoned. And Paul, all of a sudden, is scared. Fear enters Paul's heart. Paul knew that with every movement of God, suffering entered his life. Paul knows what's coming next. And the temptation to stop preaching the gospel entered his heart. The temptation of not sharing because of the consequences entered his heart. But listen, God is faithful. He knows our fears. He knows our conditions. He knows where we're at. And listen, maybe you're here this morning and you're scared. So many things going on in our lives personally, in the world, in the workplace, health issues, family members. Maybe this morning you're here and like Paul, you're scared. You're like, I don't want to show that I'm scared. But inside, it's like that duck, right, that is just in the water, but truly, his legs are going 100 miles an hour. And you're scared. You're like, man, I'm fearful. All these things are going on in my life. I just, man. Listen, God is faithful. He knows your fears. He knew Paul's fears. He knew where he was at in his heart. God always shows up. Take a look at the next verse. Take a look at what God does. And this time in Paul's life, where fear had gripped them. Now the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision. I'm going to repeat that again. Now the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision. Do not be afraid, but speak, and do not keep silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack you to hurt you, for I have many people in the city." Paul's calling had cost him. Listen, Paul was a prominent Pharisee. He had been raised at the feet of Gamaliel. He was a notable, Gamaliel was the most notable teacher of the day. Paul was head and shoulders above his contemporaries. He was being groomed not only for religious power, but for political power. Paul had lost his cushy job, his retirement, his 401k. Pharisees made a good living, remember? God rebuked him for that. Jesus rebuked him for that. That they were lovers of money. Paul had lost all the things of the world. With that, all the aspirations of these things, and Paul may have also lost his wife. Listen, the Bible doesn't tell us about Paul's wife, but if Paul was part of the Sanhedrin, which is believed he was, if you're part of the Sanhedrin, you were married. So we're not told about Paul's wife, but it's quite possible that his wife left him as he converted to Christianity when he came in to know the Lord. So it's possible that he cost him his wife as well. And Paul is thinking, man, all these things are happening, and I know what comes next. And then the enemy comes in and he says, "How did you end up here, Paul?" Paul starts thinking, "How did I end up in Corinth, so far from home? This place is out of control. Look at the things going on. Look at what's going on. How is it that, how did I end up in this crazy place? Did God really call me here? Why am I doing this again?" And I know what happens next. Everywhere I go, I get beaten. My life is threatened. I'm in constant threats. That's the state of his heart. But then God shows up. But God. And when does he show up? It tells us there that he showed up at night, right? In the darkness. In the dark time of our lives. When we're in that dark place, God shines his light of hope into our lives, and he reminds us that we belong to him and that we're in his hands. Take a look at what God says to Paul. He says, "Do not be afraid." Why do you tell a person not to be afraid? Because they're afraid. "But speak." Why does God have to tell him to speak? Why does Jesus have to tell him, "Speak, open up your mouth, preach the gospel"? Because he didn't want to preach anymore. Because he was thinking of the consequences. And he says, "Do not keep silent. I've called you to preach the gospel. In fact, when I called you in Acts chapter 9, when we read on the road to Damascus, what happened?" He said, man, he showed him all the things he must suffer for the gospel's sake. Listen, even knowing doesn't make it better. Sometimes we just get into those places where like, man, I know God. I know, and it's you're still in that place. But God shows up. Paul was not alone. God had brought friends. He had brought his brothers over. And now Jesus himself appears to him in a vision. He gives him a vision, and he speaks to him directly, and he says, "Do not be afraid." There are times in our lives as Christians, and in serving God, whether it's just whatever area of our lives that we're serving him, whatever ministry, whether it's outside the confines of this building, of the wall, there are times in our lives where we want to take the foot off the gas. And we can start looking at the difficulties and forget about the blessings. We can start listening to the voices that point to our failures and hardships instead of the voice of Jesus. We can allow fear to rule us instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us. We can start thinking of the consequences of living out our faith instead of the glory that awaits us. We can start setting our eyes on the world instead of looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Listen, we can either consider our circumstances or consider Jesus. And Jesus is greater than our circumstances, is he not? Jesus is greater. Proverbs 29, verse 25 says, "Fear, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe." Church, are you trusting in the Lord today in your circumstances? Or are you trusting in yourself? Listen, be honest with yourself, because God knows exactly where our hearts are at. Am I trusting in myself? Am I trusting on my abilities? Am I trusting on, you know, careers and talents or finances? Or are you trusting in God? We need to put our faith and our trust in God. He is immovable. He is faithful. And he never, ever disappoints us. Paul was afraid. But God speaks to Paul in this moment of fear and simply tells him, stop being afraid. Stop being afraid, Paul. Maybe that's a word for you today. Maybe you're fearful. Maybe there's fear in your life. And God is telling you, stop being afraid. You know, fear in the life of an individual causes a lot of things, just physically. Fear causes anxiety, causes your immune system to weaken, causes cardiovascular damage and ulcers and chronic pains and a series of things. Fear. Fear causes these things. And God tells us, stop being afraid. What are we fearful of? You know, my dad, my daddy, Abba, Father, he created all things. He owns the cattle in a thousand. He owns the cattle in a thousand hills. He is the one who breathed life into me. He spoke things into existence. That's my dad. Do we realize who our dad is? Do you call yourselves Christians? Do I call myself a Christian? If I call myself a Christian, it's because God is my Father. And Jesus Christ, man, he has me. I can rest assured that he'll take care of me. If I'm following him, and if I'm obedient to him, if I'm just walking with him, and I'm faithful, and allow his word to have authority over my life, not my greeds, not my desires, not my sin, but him, when I allow him, when I allow the Holy Spirit to lead me, God says, I got you. Listen, he tells him not to be afraid, and then he tells him why. For I am with you. I am with you. As Christians, you have the Spirit of God living in you. I have the Spirit of God living in me. He has promised, he has sealed us with the Holy Spirit. God is with you and me. Do you know that? Do you know that God is with you? He says, for I am with you. Listen, if the great I am is with you, the great I am, what do you got to worry about? 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear. Not the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen? We'll finish with this. Verse 11 says, and he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. God always keeps his word. He took care of Paul. And we'll continue to take care of Paul. He'll continue to take care of you. He'll continue to take care of me. Listen, we're having communion this morning. I know we went a little bit long. But before we have communion and Pat comes up here and leads us into another worship song, hey, listen, will you pray with me? And we thank God for his goodness and his grace in our lives. Father, we just thank you. Lord, you're so good to us. We just thank you, Lord. Lord, may fear never have a place in our hearts, Lord. Lord, your word says that perfect love casts out fear. Lord, may your love abide in us. May we set our eyes upon you. Lord, and we thank you that you're faithful. We thank you that you're always there, Lord. And Lord, I just pray for my brothers and sisters here. I know there are many that are going through difficult times, many that are hurting. But God, Lord Jesus, you are the God of all comfort. And your word says that you will comfort us in our time of need. So Lord, I just pray that you be with them, that your spirit rest upon them, that you encourage them, and that, Lord, that our eyes will be set in heaven upon you, that we will remember the cross. For us, it's a done deal. Our sins have been paid for. The promise of heaven awaits. The crown of glory, your word says, awaits us. So we just praise you and we thank you. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.